Welcome to the show, everyone. This is 60 Second Classics with Mike Camerlengo. I am your host, Mike Camerlengo, and I thank you for being here today. I want everyone to look in the mirror right now or pull out your cell phone and reverse that angle. Pull that triple chin off your chest and look at yourself and say, God damn it, I'm going to have a great day. Maybe you're not having a great day. Maybe you're having a down day. Maybe you got a little pee on the front of your shirt and somebody at your office said, hey, man, would you piss yourself? And you went, fucking Christ, Christopher. What the fuck am I doing? I want you to look at yourself right now and say, who gives a shit? So I leaked out a little pee and maybe it smelled like asparagus. And everyone's going to call me asparagus dick. And the next holiday party, I'm going to say, I just love working here. You're going to start to get a little emotional. And everyone's going to seem like they're taking it in. And then right when you finish your speech, they're going to go, hey, did you piss on yourself again, you stinky fuck? And everyone's going to laugh. But you know what? That's bullying. And you don't deserve that. So you should quit your job and get a new job and start a new adventure. So if that's what you're going through right now, I just want to say I'm behind you. I support you. You're a good person. And I'm here for you. Please subscribe. 5 stars. Leave a comment. Got a great comment last week. Somebody was very nice in the comment section. So we need to get these things going. 5-star reviews. If you don't know what to say in the comment section, be like, damn, this dude has the voice of an angel. That's all you need to say. And that will bump up the rankings because I heard that matters. I don't know. I'm just trying to get some sponsorship so an underwear company will give some placement so I can read ads and mess up the read. And they'll be like, dude, what the fuck's your problem? And I'm like, I don't know, but let me get that cheddar and some free samples, please. Twitter is at mcamerlengo. TikTok and Instagram is at 60 Second Classics. Email is 60secondclassics@gmail.com. Send me an email. Ask a question. Let me know a movie or TV show or sports moment that you want me to talk about. You can also leave a voicemail, 617-340-9481. That was 9481. I just garbled that a little. But in my defense, I had a cavity filled today. And let me tell you, the dentist in her, there was two people, and it was like a pit crew, and things were flying out of my mouth. It wasn't great. It wasn't great, but I'm back. So you could say I'm playing hurt. You could say, Mike, you could have took the night off. You could have took the day off. We could have got by without it. No, no, no. I'm here for you guys. I'm here for you guys. That voicemail number was 617-340-9481. I got to tell you, not getting a lot of voicemails, guys. I think maybe people are scared. I would like to play them on the show. So if you do have something, say your name. Give me something to talk about. Would you rather? Hey, man, you ever see this movie? Could you hit a curveball from Jim Abbott, a.k.a. the guest star of a Great Boy Meets World episode in the early years? Shout out to Jim Abbott. So a couple things I want to talk about today. One is the movie Airborne, which is, I believe it came out in 1993. Mike, do your fucking research. If anyone would like to be an intern, it's unpaid, but I can write a college letter of recommendations. Recommendations? That's not how you speak. A letter of recommendation. I could say, hey, this person helped out and you should give them an A in your class. If you're not in college, if you're older than that, I can write a letter to your boss. Or maybe you are the boss and I can write a letter to the people you manage and I'll be like, hey, just want to let everyone know that this person was a good ass intern. So that's all I got, my friends. Airborne came out in 1993. I'm going to get to that in 1 second. But before I do, I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld lately. Ever hear of the show Seinfeld? It's pretty popular. It's on Netflix. I saw it when I was a kid, obviously. I rewatched it again. I've seen the whole series a million times. We all have, my friends. But something is really sticking out to me as I watch it now when I'm a little older. George Costanza probably takes a shit in Jerry's bathroom 100 times. There's 180 episodes. I'd say 110 of them, George uses Jerry's bathroom. And the second he walks in there, he's dropping heat. You're saying, Mike, how do you know he could be peeing? I know urgency when I see it. I know a man who's going from the train 10 blocks, squeezing his cheeks tight. And he's going, don't go, don't go, don't go, don't go. And he's seeing possible bathrooms. He's saying, oh, there's a Dunkin' Donuts right there. There's a diner right there. Could I go in? But then your brain goes, no, dude, don't do it. What if it's locked? You do not have a second to spare. So he comes in. And look, I'm sure a few of those are pisses, are tinkles. But most of them, I think he's taking a shit. And they even reference it in an episode. You know, there's that episode where George untucks his shirt. He takes his shirt off to go to the bathroom, which is a hilarious episode. But my main question is, does George Costanza have IBS? Now, I'm not trying to be funny. IBS, hey, we all have stomach problems. Sometimes you let one rip. Sometimes you eat a bean burrito. Sometimes you can't even eat pizza. The gluten goes right to your butthole. So I just want to read. I looked into the definition of IBS. If you have IBS, certain things can trigger symptoms, okay? So IBS, of course, you can have constipation from it or diarrhea. So Costanza's obviously got that boom, boom. He's got that leaky faucet. Everything's coming out. So it says, if you have IBS, you may have noticed that certain things trigger symptoms. Common triggers include foods and medication. Emotional stress can also be a trigger. Emotional stress. Some researchers suggest that IBS is the gut's response to life's stressors. Is there a person more stressed out than George Costanza? The dude is a ball of stress. He walks around all day. He lives with his parents for half the series. Can't get laid. Doesn't have a job. His glasses are breaking. He's saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. He's getting turned away by girls. Costanza is a wreck. He's a mess. He's a lying wreck, and he's funny, and we love him, but he's a wreck inside. That man, that is a trigger right there. That man has IBS, and that man goes to Jerry's apartment every episode and destroys it. And that smell, this is not a large house. You can't go, hey, use my bathroom down the hall. Oh, go upstairs and use my other bathroom. This is a New York City apartment. That man is taking a shit 8 feet. 8 feet from where Jerry's trying to French with a babe like 10 minutes later. It's like, pal, can you really stop spraying that E. coli in the air? Okay, I'm trying to get laid. So Jerry, if you think about it, is a great friend because he lets George take a shit every time he walks in. He never even comments on it. He's not like, George, maybe change your diet. Go to therapy. Get on some medication. Your gut health is important because my nostril hairs are burning off. But he doesn't say that. All he says is, what's the deal with Ovaltine? What is the deal with Ovaltine? Like I said, today we're going to be talking about Airborne. Airborne, if you've never seen Airborne, go to 60secondclassics.com. I have a 60-second recap of it. I also have a breakdown of the end scene where they go down Devil's Backbone, which is a great scene. But if you're of a certain age, maybe you saw it, maybe you scrolled past it on TV, and you're like, oh, is that the inline skating movie that has Seth Green in it and a young Jack Black? You bet your goddamn dick it is. Came out in 1993. It has a 21% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I just want to say, people who review movies, how fucking dare you? Okay? I was reading some of these reviews. It's hilarious. It's like, this is a kid's movie. Or for preteens, as the advertisers would say. And you got like 50-year-old guys being like, I don't think the plot was. It's like, dude, it doesn't matter what the plot was. There's dudes rollerblading. There's babes. There's no adults. There's two adults in the whole movie. Maybe three if you count the teacher. They don't get involved. The summary on IMDb, Mitchell Goosen, great character name. That's the main character. Mitchell Goosen is a California teenager who loves to surf and rollerblade. When his zoologist parents... does anyone know how to read? Because I fucking don't. When his zoologist parents are given a grant to work in Australia, they can't take Mitchell, so they send him to Cincinnati, Ohio, to stay with his aunt, uncle, and cousin Wiley, played by Seth Green, who will be his roommate for the next six months. At his new school, Mitchell gets on the bad side of the high school hockey players, so he and Wiley endure weeks of torture from them until they all must learn to get along and team up to beat the Central High School rivals in a competition down the Devil's Backbone. Look, not the most concise summary. Now, yeah, you might say, Mike, if you read it better, we would understand it. But, you know, it's like we all have gifts. Reading might not be mine. That's all. So let's learn to celebrate each other's strengths. So this movie is going to take you out on a little journey. This movie opens, and Mitchell, California bro, he's got that perp plus hair flowing in the wind, and he's blading down the street, sunny California day, and you're like, this kid's cool as hell. Because you got to remember, rollerblading, 1993, I mean, holy shit, guys. This was the thing. Now, if you were like me, you couldn't, I wasn't an ice skater. I played basketball. I couldn't skate. But for some reason, I said, yes, I want rollerblades. Mom, can you get me rollerblades? So I got rollerblades and I was trying to roll, so I was trying to blade around town and I couldn't stop. And now some people might say stopping is important when you're going fast. They would be right. That's a correct thing to say. So I would kind of try to drag my foot behind. And I remember one time I was going down a hill and I jumped on a lady's front lawn just to try to stop. I couldn't stop. I jumped on her front lawn. My ankle almost exploded. I was lucky I had young kid ankles, sixth grade ankles. Because if I did that now, I'd be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. My bones would shatter. I would be airlifted to a trauma unit. But young Mike in 1996 or whatever the fuck year it was, I was blading, and I probably did it for like 3 weeks, and then I just had the blades, and because when you're young, you just don't know. When you get older, you realize, you go, oh, that's cool, but that's just not for me, you know? Pickleball, everyone's playing pickleball, but I look at it, I go, nah, that's not for me. But when you're young, you want to do it. You want to do it all. So we see Mitchell going down the hill, and then we see him and his bro surfing, just like fucking shredding waves. And you're like, these dudes are cool as hell. I hope this movie is about kids in California. Buzzkill, it's not. They moved to Cincinnati. So he gets home with his surfboard. And he's like, I love you, surfboard. He's just like, he's that dude. His parents are like, hey, Mitch, by the way, we're going to Australia for work. You're going to Cincinnati to live with your cousin who's never even seen the back of a woman's shoulder on television. So like, good fucking luck. So Mitchell's like, this sucks. He knows it's going to suck. He gets off the plane in Cincinnati. It's snowing. He's carrying his surfboard, and it's freezing outside. It's like I said, it's snowing. It's cold. The kind of weather that gives you hard nips and depression, a.k.a. hard nip depression. Now, you don't know about that life. If you live in Southern California, you've never had hard nip depression, a.k.a. HND. But if you live on the East Coast or the Midwest, you know about it. It comes every year after Thanksgiving, sometimes after Christmas, and it lasts until about mid-March. And it sucks, and it's coming right now. I can feel it in my bones. I see the leaves outside. I go, oh, this is such a nice time of year. But I feel the hard-nip depression squeaking in on my body, and I'm not liking it. So Wiley and his parents are holding up a Welcome Mitchell sign. His aunt is in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And the dad is Mr. Dewey from Saved by the Bell. You got to know Mr. Dewey. And his cousin, Seth Green. Seth Green's rocking a little bob haircut to his shoulders. Got the John Lennon glasses on. And I don't know what kind of hat that is. I almost called it a bidet. That's not a thing, Mike. A bidet is not a thing. Well, it's a thing you sit on. But it's not a hat. You know, like a Frenchman's hat. So they go to school. Him and Wiley go to school, and immediately people start fucking with him just because he doesn't have split ends. And this dude named Snake shoulder bumps him. And when you're a kid, if someone shoulder bumped you, I mean, you got to be dry heaving the rest of the day because that person wants to fight you and or kill you. But if you can get it, but it's a 2-week thing. If you can get past 2 weeks after the shoulder bump, you're square. So Mitchell knows he's just got to get past that 2-week thing. He goes into class. He gets introduced by the teacher, and he gets up. They're supposed to go up and say something about themselves. And he gets up and he gives a peace sign, and the whole class hates it. They hate him. They just hate everything about him. They're like, you're from California. Who gives a shit about California? We will burn oil in a river. This is Cincinnati, you fucking hippie. So a dude, they even show the dude, this dude Jack, who's one of the main characters, he has a fantasy of chucking him out the window just because he's from California and has nice hair. And the teacher has zero control of this class. Zero control. This guy Jack calls him, he hates his guts. He calls him a pretty boy surfer. And he gets up in front of the class. He goes, dude, surfing's not a real sport. It's like checkers. You're a shithead. If you want to play a real sport, you come play on our hockey team today against the Preps. We've never beat them. And it's like, dude, maybe you've never beat them because you're asking random Southern Cali bros to play on the second line. That's just my thinking. Maybe you need to kind of have a better screening process. And the babes love this dude. They love him, which does make sense. In school, girls always love the new kid. The guys did too. It's just whoever's new, everyone's like, oh, did you see so-and-so? I remember growing up, the girls were like, oh, did you see this fucking dude? I'm like, that kid? Dude's got acne. And I'm like, well, maybe acne's cool. Well, maybe acne's cool. Shout out to people with acne or people who had acne. I used a little bit of Proactive in my day growing up. I thought it worked pretty well. So thanks to Proactive. If you guys need me to do a little 60-second spot on people's pimples disappearing, I'll do it. 10 grand. I'll do it for 10 grand and some Proactive. Because you never know when you're going to get a flare-up. So they need two people for the hockey game. There's a hockey game coming up. So Snake, the dude who shoulder bumped Mitchell earlier, he's like, dude, I'll play. And then they make Wiley do it because Wiley was talking a big game about how he was a great hockey player. He was obviously BSing because he's not. He was like, I'm a video game dude, but they didn't know that. So this hockey game, it's these dudes, these public school kids against the preps, they call them. There's absolutely no supervision. There's no refs. A kid gets speared, and honestly, he could be dead. Not even the character, like the actor who did it, the stuntman, whoever, he may have a spinal cord injury. That's how crazy it was. I'll put some of these hits up on my social media stuff. So the main bad dude is called Blaine. Okay, Blaine and the preps. Now, this movie's a little confusing because usually the bad guy in these movies is whoever has blonde hair. But this movie has two blonde dudes on opposite sides. So there's Jack, who hates Mitchell, but he's a public school kid. And then there's Blaine, who's like the bad, bad guy, and he's with the preps. He also has blonde hair. So, you know, which blonde person do I hate? So somehow Mitchell ends up getting into the game. They know he can skate, I think, or maybe they just assume everybody at the school can skate. And he ends up scoring the game-winning goal, but on the wrong net. And he puts his arms up, and he's like, where did we won? And they're like, wrong net, you dickhead. And this dude, Jack, I'm not kidding, sprints, like skate sprints, speed skates, Blades of Steel style, and just destroys this dude. Like, his kidneys probably exploded. And again, no parents around, no ref. It's just like, you put this kid in a body bag, he's not helping his case for being a Cali bro. Now, everybody after this starts fucking with Mitchell and Wiley. They break his chair, so he falls back in class. They put glue behind the lock at the locker, so Wiley's stuck to the locker. The works. These kids are fucking deranged. They dump water on Mitchell from the stairs. They try to run Wiley off the road during his driver's test. Like, again, insane. This is kind of the reverse Karate Kid. It's like, instead of someone from the East Coast moving to California, got someone from the California moving to Ohio. Did I just say the California? I did, because I'm trying to start a new trend. So speaking of Karate Kid, then he meets the girl. He meets a babe, and there's this great little rollerblading montage in a rainforest cafe-looking spot. It goes into another scene that just kind of like fades, and we see him shredding at a park with some local bros, half pipe, all that shit. Now, this is a little bit of foreshadowing because you're really seeing how good of an inline skater this dude really is. So we cut to him on a double date with Nikki. That's the babe, and with her friend, and bad blonde Blaine and the preps come rolling in, and he's talking all that shit. He grabs Nikki's wrist because I think they had a little history. And this is a part of the movie where you kind of go, whoop, you sit up straight and your butt gets a little, whoop, what's that? What's happening? Because it's getting a little aggressive. And Mitchell, he's not really, like, this is where you got to throw down, Mitchell. But he's like quoting Gandhi, and he's like, hey, man, what if we all just chilled because we're all on this planet? What is reality, man? And it's like, nah, dude. Once somebody grabs your lady's wrists, even if you're going to get your ass kicked, you got to go, hey, man, neck chop, Charlie horse, elbow to the face. You got to do something. You got to maybe even, hey, what's that? And then run with her. You got to grab, like, whatever you got to do, you got to do something. You can't just be like, hey, man, I read this book about transcendental meditation. They're like, no, you little fucker, you throw a fist. And then that girl who he's on a date with, we find out right here, this is Jack's sister, Jack, who hates Mitchell's guts. So Jack saves the day. And then after he saves the day and tells Blaine to hit the bricks, he immediately tries to fight Mitchell. He's like, everyone hates you. And it's just because he's from California. I don't really get it. Everyone in this movie is anti-California. And this is the 90s. I mean, 1993, you got to think, like, if you're living in Ohio, you don't meet a lot of people from California. You don't really know what California is all about. This is the 90s. Now we're so integrated. We see things on TV, social media. We've all probably met someone from California. But in the 90s, it's like, hey, man, like, what? Do you sleep on a surfboard? Like, what is even? Are you in a movie if you live in California? Like, Do you know the Lakers? Do you know Magic Johnson? Like, what's that? So we don't know. So Jack is coming from a place of he's insecure. He's like, I don't know what this Cali bro is doing, but now he's dating my sister. That's a little too far. Now, Mitchell Goosen gets in his face. He goes, and I quote, quote of the movie right here, I don't give two left testicles about you, your school, or your hockey game. Now, I feel like there was a lot of things about left testicles when we were growing up. Like, I don't know if it's from something specific, or I do vaguely remember being like, this is going to sound crass. I remember being like, dude, suck my left nut. Suck my left nut. Like, what? Why are we specifying what nut? No one ever said suck my right nut. Maybe there was a big left nut movement, and I missed it. Well, I was involved in it, but I don't remember why. We cut to there's a hockey game, but it's a street hockey game. And Mitchell thinks this is his chance to make up for being a little puss earlier. And Blaine and the preps are playing, and they're fucking with Mitchell. They're like, everyone's fucking with Mitchell. No one likes this dude. So Mitchell waits for his chance, and he pantses Blaine. I used to call it drooping someone. I don't know if people call it that, where he just fucking yanks his pants down. And everyone started calling him Chocolate Stain Blaine because you know he's got them skid marks, which isn't fair, dude. If you're playing street hockey, how are you not going to have a little skid mark? All right, you're sweating. Maybe you had a hot dog on the pier, on the boardwalk. You know, the boardwalk of Cincinnati. Oh, right by the river. There's a board. Come on, I know. I know stuff. There's a river. And this turns the tide. Now, the guys who hated Mitchell, they all show up at the house and they apologize because apparently if you yank down the enemy's undies, you're actually a good shit. And that just goes across any state or city. That's just like a thing everybody knows. So they say, we need you to help us beat the preps in a race we do with them. We can't beat them in anything. We need you to beat them in a skating competition. So it's weird. We're going back and forth between hockey and skating and surfing, and there's these like three things. But now the most important thing in the world is an inline skating competition. And you know what? I'm along for the ride. I immediately go, what? I sit up in my seat. You say Devil's Backbone? I go, huh? I like the sound of that. And Mitchell goes, what's Devil's Backbone? And Wiley goes, oh, only the most dangerous hill in the whole town. Which, I mean, I'm intrigued even more now. Even more. So he agrees. He's got to do his part. He's got to win over the babe. He's got to show them that even though he's a Cali bro, he still likes competition. He's still got that blood pumping through his surfer thighs and surfer legs. Sorry about the thighs and legs thing. I don't know. I'm just thinking about surfing, and that's all I can think of. Surfer knees. Everyone knows surfers got cool knees. So they line up at the top of the hill, and somebody says, tied for the best quote right here. The rules are, there are no rules. Anything goes. I'm going to say that again because I fucking mumbled my mouth. Again, I had a cavity today. I had a filling. Quote, the rules are, there are no rules. Anything goes. I'm standing at this point with my arms crossed watching this. That's how amped up I am. Now, Devil's Backbone is insane. It's down the hill. It's curvy. There's cars happening. I'd say roughly 12 people perish during this race. People are flying into parked cars, hitting lawns, hitting chairs, ripping their ACLs in half. It's incredible. People are just dropping like flies. And then there's also a lot of hand fighting. People are kicking each other's skates out, throwing sticks in between shit. There are no rules. Now, you have to imagine if somebody dies, there will be a manslaughter charge. At least one. So there is a risk, but when you're that age, you don't really think about those things. You go, what are they going to do? Throw me in jail? And then as you get older, you go, oh yeah, they will. I'll do 10 to 15. If I have a good lawyer, maybe 8. Maybe time served if I have a great lawyer. But if I get a public defender or somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, maybe I get 30 years. And they go, actually, it's murder too, bitch. Because we know you shoved him in the back around that curve and you knew his blades weren't new blades. They're old blades. And how can you stop with old blades? And you're like, wait a sec. I'm just trying to win on Devil's Backbone. And they go, win what? Win murder? Because you did. Murder won. You're getting the electric chair. Congratulations. So the race is like 20 minutes long. It's incredible. I would watch the whole thing on YouTube. You should definitely check it out. Or 60secondclassics.com. So they win thanks to him. He comes through in the clutch and he kisses Nikki. And he gets the babe. He shows everyone that not everyone from California is a total puss. And that is all she wrote. That is all she wrote. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, I recommend watching it. If you have kids, you should show it to your kids. I'd say the age range from this, they don't really swear. The only thing is Seth Green says the word chubby. But if you have a younger kid, you can easily just like lie about that. Oh, Dad, what's a chubby? Oh, it's when you don't feel good. It's when you're not feeling good. Oh, okay. And then, I mean, a couple weeks later, they're in class and they tell the teacher they have a chubby. And maybe you have to do a little teacher conference there. But you know what? That's a chance you should be willing to take because you should show your kid this movie. I'd say the age range between 6 and 14, 15. I mean, maybe an 18-year-old would watch this, but they'd be like, oh, this is so cheesy. And it's like, you know what? You had to be there. So that is the movie Airborne. Right now, it's not streaming on anything. I found it on some weird website that I'm sure is giving my computer so many viruses. But I did it all for you guys because I wanted to see it again. If you've never seen it, yeah, you should check it out. I think it's pretty good, especially if you're from that era. But if you're not, if you're younger, you should watch it too because it's pretty ridiculous. But also, one of those movies where you go, oh, this is so ridiculous. And then you're just kind of like invested. So I don't know. Check it out. All right, before we go, I wanted to talk about one more thing. Did anyone else take a driver's ed class and have their instructor show you a video where there was a road rage incident and the guy gets out and takes a crossbow out of his trunk and shoots it at somebody and kills them? Or is that only my teacher? Because I got to tell you, I'm not into road rage stuff. I don't want to get in fights. I don't want to do any of that stuff. But whenever anybody goes, oh, you never know, someone could have a gun. I go, gun? I wish they had a gun. They'll have a crossbow. So it was one of those scared straight kind of moments. But people always make fun of scared straight stuff. Like, oh, yeah, like that's going to work. But sometimes it works. Like I'm scared straight. Like if someone tried to swerve me off the road and they're like, get out of your car. I'd be like, well, I'll get out if you sign a waiver that says you do not have a crossbow in your trunk. Because I heard that can happen and I'm not into that. So I guess the moral of the story is don't get out and fight anybody. You never know if somebody has a weapon or people are mental. You don't want to fight, especially not when everyone's amped up at a stop sign outside of a Dunkin' Donuts. It's not worth it. Just drink your sugary shit and move on. But although I do have a problem with it. I do get mad when people like cut me off or I hate when people are driving on my ass. I always get so pissed. But I always remember the crossbow. So that's it for the show this week. I hope you guys enjoyed. Please subscribe. Leave a cool comment, and by cool, I mean voice of an angel, or at something you actually think. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm going to be doing these on Mondays and Thursdays. If you heard Monday's episode, it was all about the NFL. So Monday episodes, I'm going to make them more like this episode. So I am going to do a sports thing up top, but it's going to be kind of like a this weekend in sports. For example, this past weekend, there was a Hail Mary, Appalachian State college football. There was that hilarious video of the golfer walking into the rope line and he didn't see it and he acted like he got hit by Lee Harvey. And obviously some NFL stuff too, but whatever kind of happens in the weekend sports-wise, I will go over that probably in the first 8 to 10 minutes. And then I'll also work in some pop culture stuff and just any funny videos and all that stuff the rest of the show. So if you are not a huge sports fan or you're not a big football fan, I still think you should listen to the Monday episode. I'm really trying to make this an extension of my Twitter account and my Instagram account and the website in general. So if you like, if you follow me online and you like kind of the theme or the feel of the videos, even if you're not super into sports, I still think you should listen to that part because it's going to have that feel. And we're also going to talk about other stuff like that. You can follow me on Twitter at mcamerlengo, subscribe 5 stars, 617-340-9481. Remember, look in the mirror and say, I believe in you, my friend. I believe in you. Hope you guys have a great day. Have a great night. Have some great sleep. And remember, if you cheat on your spouse in your dream, it ain't cheating. See you guys next time. Love you.